As I talk to you this morning about mothers, I think before I start, when I talk about mothers, I'm talking about more than biological mothers. I'm talking about foster moms, I'm talking about STEM moms, I'm talking about moms. So all of those things come together as mom, okay? And what I want to speak about this morning is our moms and mothers of the Bible. And I'm going to refer to my mom a fair bit, and that's why I get choked up, because I don't talk a lot about my mom, but she did a lot for me. So I want to share that with you this morning. It's been suggested by many of the world's leading scholars that you cannot really understand a person unless you first understand his or her mom. Mothers are so instrumental in our lives that they inevitably affect all aspects of our being. We are well aware of the fact, at least some of us are, that Abraham Lincoln led his nation through perhaps its time of greatest crisis. But who was it that made Abraham Lincoln the man that he was? I know what Lincoln thought. He said it was his mother. I would submit to you this morning that there's not a person sitting here that in 1, 5, 10, and 1,000 different ways has not been forever influenced by their mother. I also believe that you cannot understand a person, who a person is, or what motivates them until you understand their past. And you can't understand a person's past without understanding the source that co-created that person along with God, their parents, and in particular this morning, their mothers. So, what is a mother? A mother is that special creation of the Almighty God whom He has gifted with the unique power of giving life to a living being. No one can repay the debt of a mother, but we can certainly honor our mothers and attempt to find a smile, or put a smile on their faces. Mother is the chief night watchman. Her ear is fine-tuned, probably God-given, to hear the slightest turn of a baby in the bed. A light whimper, and immediately she's out of that bed and straight to the baby's crib. Mother is the doctor and nurse, all rolled into one. If it's a fever, a crying baby that won't be quieted, a cut, a broken tooth, doesn't matter. She knows how to fix it. The mother needs only kiss the boo-boo, and the child instantly is calmed of all fears. After all, mother knows best. She's the chief diaper changer. She's the taxi, the bus driver, the chauffeur, whatever it takes to get the child wherever they need to go. She's the timekeeper. After all, children don't watch the clock. They listen to mom. She knows when the bus runs for school, the time for practice for the games, the piano lesson, the school play. Whatever has the time attached, be sure that mother has the time written down in her time clock somewhere up here. If not, she surely has a paper attached to her refrigerator, the bathroom mirror, her purse, the car steering wheel, or someplace she's bound to see it or be able to find it in case of a lapse of memory. She's chief cook and bottle washer. This lasts right up until they leave home. In fact, with some, it never ends. She's dear old dependable mom. She's a counselor for the teens. She listens to all the problems and then tries to solve them her way. Only problem with that is teens usually know more than the counselor. She's also the consoler. She listens while they tell her that nobody loves me. Oh, my boyfriend's dumped me. It goes beyond child and early adulthood, right into marriage with, the baby doesn't sleep at night. The kids are killing me. She's the referee in every dispute. She's the cheer person during the ball games. In the wake of a storm, she is the light at the end of the tunnel. She's mom. Although overworked and underpaid, mother doesn't complain. She would work her fingers to the bone for her children. She'd come to their rescue no matter what the cause. These are, after all, her God-given talents to take and use for the glory of God. I would like to believe, but I just finished describing my own mom. And I do believe, in my heart, that she possessed a lot of these qualities. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to appreciate all she had to offer, as she had passed away when I was only 13. Today, I would like to focus on mothers of the Bible and try to show how mothers today and my mother can, or in some of our cases, did exhibit these characteristics. The first biblical mom I would like to explore with you is Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The day approached, but according to Egyptian astrologers, the liberator of the children of Israel was to be born. Since they did not know whether he would be Jewish or Egyptian, of Jewish or Egyptian descent, all the male children born were to be thrown into the water by the order of King Pharaoh. It was at this time that Jochebed gave birth to her third child, a boy. From the first moment of his birth, it became apparent that he was an extraordinary child. His parents tried everything possible to prevent his falling into the hands of Pharaoh's men, who were continuously searching for newborn children, and particularly Jewish children. After 3 months, Jochebed saw that she would not be able to conceal her child any longer. She proceeded to take a small waterproof basket in which she put her child and set him down among the papyrus reeds growing on the banks of the Nile. While Jochebed tearfully returned home, her daughter Miriam remained nearby to watch the baby. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came to the river to bathe and found the baby in the basket. Miriam was quick to come forward and tell that she knew of a Jewish mother who could nurse the young child. That person was, in fact, Moses' birth mother. It's apparent that Jochebed believed Moses to be special, and that she had to put her faith in God into action if he, Moses, was going to make a difference. So she knew herself, threw herself on the care of God, and did what she had to do. Jochebed used her time with Moses and her other two children wisely and faithfully. Moses went on to be the called leader of the Israelite people. Aaron was a spiritual leader of the Israelites. And Miriam became a prophetess. One could see from this that she taught her children faith, obedience, and trust in God. My mother was no Jochebed, but she did plant the seeds of faith needed for me to become the person I am today. I don't remember any Bible reading going on in the home, or the meal beginning with grace. But she wanted me to learn about God and faith. It was my mom that made certain I went to Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, regardless of where I'd been the night before. She also made certain that I attended youth group Sunday evenings at our church in Brighton. When it comes to obedience, there's no question that our family knew what it meant to be compliant. When mother asked you to do something, she usually didn't have to ask a second time. This faithful obedience extended to my older siblings as well. My sisters, who were 16 and 18 years older than me, and both married, lived in Port Hope and Belleville, respectively. Yet every Sunday evening, they would be at our house for Sunday dinner. It was just expected, and they were there, along with their two children. They didn't question why this was, but knew that it was important to our mother, and just did it. Maybe there's a message here for all of us. Instead of always questioning our moms about why, maybe it would be a considerate and obedient thing to do as we're asked, at least once in a while. The second biblical mom I would like for us to explore is Elizabeth. Elizabeth's story is a strong New Testament parallel to Hannah's. Hannah was the mother of Israel's greatest judge, Samuel, and her story can be observed in 1 Samuel 1. She, too, was without child until an older age. Elizabeth remained faithful to God, even in her aging years as a childless, lonely wife. You need to understand that in these days in Israel, a woman's value was measured to a great degree on her ability to bear children, and in particular, sons. Her barrenness led to public shame and a lot of personal hardship. But an angel appeared to Elizabeth's husband and said that their prayers would come true. They would have a child. And that their son, and reading from Luke 1:16-17, will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. What an amazing promise. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when she learned that her cousin Mary was also expecting a child. It is interesting to note that this man, Elizabeth's son, paved the way for the ministry of Mary's son, Jesus, and also that he was a descendant of Jochebed. Elizabeth's faith, encouragement, and determination had a strong impact on the life of Mary, mother of Jesus, and on her own son, John, the one we refer to as John the Baptist. After John's birth, family and friends gathered for his circumcision. It was at this time that a child was named. Those in attendance often had input into the naming of a child, and it was determined by those that were there that an appropriate name would be Zachariah, thus naming him after his father. But Elizabeth insisted that John, and her husband, who at this time couldn't talk because the Lord has sealed up his mouth, agreed. So what in the upbringing of John? The Jews of the ancient world lived in a religious culture. Religion was integrated into their daily lives so that everything they did, said, ate, thought, and made had religious implications. The laws that governed their lives were not state laws as ours are, but laws laid down by God. Jewish women were seen to be the shapers of the Jewish future because their role was to educate their children. This responsibility was appropriate because Jews have always seen women as more spiritual and more open to religious ideas than men, and as being closer to God. Elizabeth, as the homemaker, was in charge of maintaining the Jewishness of the family. She presided over religious celebrations within the home and supervised John's religious education. She was in charge of maintaining complicated food laws, essential for a good Jewish family. She prepared and supervised the frequent Jewish festivals. Our mothers may not be Jewish, but it's obvious to me that their roles within the family have not changed with regard to educating, nurturing, guiding, nourishing, etc. As I mentioned previously, my mother looked after my religious education by making certain I attended Sunday school regularly. We didn't have to observe any complicated food laws. But nevertheless, most, if not all, of the food in our household was homemade. My mother, as the homemaker, did virtually all that food preparation. I can recall sitting at the kitchen table and grinding up pork so my mom could make her famous pork pies. Or peeling apples and pitting cherries so she could bake pies. And one wasn't enough. She often did lots so she could freeze them. As well, we had a huge garden, and I mean huge, where we grow potatoes, carrots, tomatoes, beans, beets, corn, and many other vegetables. In the fall, the carrots and the potatoes would be dug and placed in the coal cellar to be consumed during the summer, during the winter. The other vegetables were cooked and jarred also to be shelved in the coal cellar. We even went as far as to make our own ketchup. It was quite liquidy or runny compared to today's standards, but nonetheless, it was homemade ketchup. There aren't many moms today that have the time to preserve food, but some still do. And still, moms usually make certain that the food eaten by the family is good, wholesome, and nutritious. Thirdly, let's talk about Eunice. Eunice is the mother of Timothy. Eunice was Jewish, but she married a Greek. She worked outside the home whenever she could find employment, just as did others in her situation. You see, her husband died when Timothy was quite young. When she was away from home, her mother cared for Timothy. They shared the belief that providing good early training for a child was their most important task. They instructed him in the stories from the books of the law and the prophets. They gave him the opportunity to learn of the knowledge of the great judges and the prophets, and to be exposed to the wisdom in the Psalms and Proverbs. In other words, the Old Testament. It was when Paul made his first journey to their city that they were introduced to the power of God through Jesus Christ. They adopted the faith and in turn instructed Timothy in the Christian way. Eunice had patiently taught her son and no doubt had lived her faith, which was and still is the best teacher. It is in the small areas of our life that we make the big impressions on our children. As parents, we may think it's the big things we do that have the greatest influence, whether we are successful or have an important position or make a lot of money or respected in the community. We may think that when we take a bold stand for what's right or stand up against evil, against prejudice, or against injustice, that our children admire us the most. These are all important. But it is the little things that we do every day that make the biggest impressions on our offspring. Do we show kindness? Do we genuinely trust God? Do we live our faith in every circumstance? Are we a praying people? Do we love our neighbor? How did Timothy become such a productive, faithful, and important minister in God's work? It all started when he was a little boy. It all started with little things. It all started from his mother Eunice training her son in the ways of God. This must have required extra work on Eunice's part, because as I mentioned earlier, Timothy's father was of Greek religion, and he died when Timothy was very young. Perhaps there were times when she felt too exhausted from all the work of the day to spend time with her son, but she would not give up on her responsibilities. She was faithful and willing to go the extra mile. Eunice must have taught Timothy to know God just as she had been taught. For ancient scriptures instruct, fix these words of mine on your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road. Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. She knew that if she had a good foundation, he would be strong as he grew. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. She knew that in giving him this start, he would have inner guidance, and that would never fail him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The common ingredient for all three of these women of the Bible was their faith in God and the absolute passion to pass that on to their children. All were daily in their devotion to train their children in the way of the Lord, so that when they got older, they would not turn from it. Eunice, Elizabeth, and Jochebed took their direction from God. When they could no longer provide the needed care, they all turned things over to God and trusted He would provide according to His will. True faith. What an important lesson for us all to remember as our children venture out on their own. I like to believe that my mother also recognized the importance of having a strong foundation to build upon. And she also knew that she could not provide for that in our home. So she made certain that those seeds were planted in God's house. And thus the importance of me attending Sunday school every week. She also taught me about love and patience and kindness and all those other qualities that make for a good person who believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. But you know what? I never realized how much my mother had done for me until I was preparing this message. Now, I'd give anything to say thanks to my mother for all her nurturing, all her caring, all her nursing, all her chauffeuring, cooking, counseling, consoling, just good old loving. Those of you who still have your mom, don't let this Mother's Day or any other special circumstances pass you by. Thank your mom for being mom. She's helping to lay the foundation that will allow you to be the person God made you to be. So mothers and grandmothers and church, let's not entrust our children's future to chance, but to faith in the one we know. And moms, thanks for taking your God-given gifts seriously. You are all truly an inspiration to your families and to your church. May God bless each of you today and always. Amen.